Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, joined here by my co-host and our quite recurring guest.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's Ryan. And did you miss me last week?
Yeah,
I think we did. I feel like, you know, I thought we were going to be just fine. I thought we were going to be bouncing off the walls. But, definitely missed some of that nice, you really draw us back. You really center us, Ryan.
So I'd say you center us. I think I make you guys, think outside the box maybe a little bit. Right?
Okay, I can see that.
No craziness.
And Icarus, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes.
So I am Amit, Icarus MTG. I'm a streamer. I play a lot of Pioneer. I enjoy the format a lot, and I think that's going to be our topic for today, right?
Basically.
Is the format? Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the plan, is that, this is a, we don't want to call it a B-Fest, but we want to talk about what's going on in Pioneer and, maybe some of the issues it's having. I don't know if it's in the best place right now, player-wise, So I will say, let's start with the good news, is they just dropped down the minimum requirement for challenges back from 64 to 32. I think, is it the first one tomorrow?
Yeah, it is tomorrow, I think. Or is it tonight? No, it's tonight. It's in like...
Okay, for you, probably tonight. For me, I think it's tomorrow.
It's like in 6 hours from now, yeah. That's the first one.
Okay, wow. Within the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? Let's have your reaction to that first, Emmett, if you don't mind.
So, I think it was pretty obviously necessary, but... I think it wasn't necessary because we couldn't get to 64 people. I think it's necessary because once the minimum requirement is 64 people, then a lot of people give up in advance and then we don't get to 64 people. Like, I expect to challenge, like, at least one of the challenges to be over 64 people this weekend.
Oh, really?
Just because people are going to say, well, it's for sure going to fire. Let's get ready for it. And then they're going to
join. So more than 32 people.
Even with... Mm-hmm. Even with, Modern Horizons pre-release and all that?
So that's basically like the wild card, I guess. I might be wrong. Maybe there wouldn't be. My guess is that at least, like, if not this week, then next week we're going to have a lot of people playing Pioneer again. But Modern Horizons, I think, is one of the biggest things that are driving people away from the format. So I hope the challenge fires. I'm definitely planning on playing it on stream. But, anything could happen. Like, it's really hard to predict these things.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing, is that, Historic got a lot of fun things lately with the, the additions that came out of Strixhaven, all of those, what were they called, the Strixhaven? Mystical Archives, one of those millions of supplemental sets. So they got some fun things shaking them up. Modern got some fun things shaking them up, as well as older formats, and those are a lot of, Pioneer's competitors, probably. Mm-hmm. So, unless if Modern Horizons completely destroys Modern, in which case maybe we'll see people running back, but... Ryan, why don't you set us up a little bit more with what the general topic we're trying to talk about today is.
So you guys actually approached me with this topic, and I had to make heads and tails of it, or I couldn't make heads or tails of it at first until we kind of fleshed it out. So basically, I think what I got from you guys is that you kind of want to talk about, the problems with Pioneer at the moment, but not so much the problems as is it a good or bad format, but kind of like the things that are outside of what we can control. Does that kind of make sense?
Maybe the things...
Yeah. So, the pandemic?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would... The way I would put it is the things that are holding Pioneer back.
Yeah.
Because unlike what a lot of people say, and I know you agree with me, Pioneer is not dead. The format is well and truly alive.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not fulfilling. It's like getting to its full potential.
And that's what we kind of want to go into today, right? Like, how can we get it to its full potential? What are the things that are, damaging it? How do we fix it? All that stuff. I came up with a couple questions I wanted to ask you guys to kind of, have you kind of expand on your thoughts on this whole subject. And the first thing I wanted to talk about, since we are kind of talking about, trying to fix Pioneer, is what are the problems? What's ailing Pioneer at the moment? What's keeping it down? What's keeping it from succeeding? Did you guys have anything that you think, that really sticks out to you? Like Kevin, maybe? Or
Yeah, definitely. So I was going to let Akros jump in here first. But for me, I think the biggest thing I would say is that, big events. Whenever there's big events scheduled for Pioneer, we see it take off. And we usually see people continuing to want to play the format afterwards because it's just such a fun format to play. And I think that every Magic format lives or dies with whether or not there are big events for players. I mean, that seems to be the biggest thing. You know, Legacy, when there wasn't big events firing for a long time, was really, really on the downturn. Mm. People thought it was kind of going to die off. And I feel like they've done a bit to take that back. You know, when they weren't throwing, when they were firing Modern events, like when Modern had a Pro Tour back when that was a thing, mm-hmm. that was when Modern was in full boom. I think it's what killed Frontier more than anything is that there weren't events for it. But when Pioneer kicked off, there were some really big events. People were really interested in playing the format, brewing in the format, and we saw a lot of interest. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me that's holding it back right
now. Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Was it Field of Dreams? You know, if you build it, they will come, is like the famous line from that. So, mm-hmm. so like basically, if you hold an event, people will come. I remember somebody before the pandemic happened, they were putting together a Legacy event, and like they, I don't know if they sold out, but like they had like hundreds of people that wanted to do it. You know, it was like 1,000 people or 1,200 people they had to like max out at. And I'm guessing the same thing would happen with Pioneer. You know, if you had a big event like that, people would play it. You know, people would travel for it, I think.
I mean, I'll tell you, I hate Sealed, but if there's a Sealed, like, Open or something near me, I'll go ahead and practice the format because I want to know what the format's going to be like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, it also gives you... Yeah, can I give my take on this?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, what absolutely. Do you think is okay. holding it back?
So, I think... Like you mentioned, league tournaments, which I think is definitely a big deal. But if you look on Magic Online, Pioneer is not the only format that's not getting big tournaments. I mean, arguably you get some Modern tournaments, but right now there's nothing scheduled for the next month other than Sealed. Mm. So why are other formats still doing well while Pioneer is doing less well? I think it's because you didn't get enough players enfranchised in the first place, which is the pandemic happened and like you can't do much about that. But then you took, like, with the way Wizards have been banning cards in the format, I think those bans served more to drive the enfranchised players out than it is to keep them in. Like, I think the bannings were made for the wrong reasons. That's my personal opinion. Definitely arguable, but... And I think we end up in this spot where Pioneer is not seen as a format that's being played a lot, and then this drives people away. Mm. And it's kind of like this vicious circle that feeds itself.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think that's interesting. I definitely agree. And I think that we do want to, in this episode, talk a little bit, you know, in context of how could we shake up the format a little bit to draw people in. I think we do want to talk about the ban list a little bit later on in the show. So
yeah, we will.
Definitely, I agree with that point.
Though. I don't think it's as easy as that. I think the whole, I mean, kind of like connecting with you, to you, yeah, connecting to what you guys said, is that the mismanagement of digital media overall with, you know, by Wizards of the Coast has really, really, really hurt Pioneer. It's hurt all the other ones, like you said, you know, but like as far as like raising the cap, you know, or, you know, not having events and stuff like that, you know, for the rollout of
the spectate games.
Like for what it's worth, I think raising the cap for the Pioneer Challenge was actually a good move because it means you also increase price support. And, like, their data said that Pioneer Challenges go over 64 people. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we can't get enough people. I think, like, that mentally drives people away. But, in fact, we could have easily gotten, like, 60-something people.
Again, going back to management.
No one wants to block out 8 hours in their day for an event that might not fire. That's what you're
but
saying.
But, again, going back to mismanagement is that, you know, they didn't look at the other schedules. Hey, you know, Modern's coming out this weekend. Or, hey, you know, this is coming out. Do we want to do it on this weekend during, you know, Mother's Day or something like that? I mean, just really bad, you know, choices, you know, by the digital departments, I think. And because, you know, Pioneer got released when the pandemic was starting, it was forced to go online. And because it had to deal with all this other mismanagement, that was just another gear or another, what do they say, like wrench in the gear or whatever. You know, wrenching the gearworks. I don't know what the saying is anymore. I'm sorry. I'm in Japan. I forgot all my English.
So I think where I want to go with kind of the next point is that we haven't really mentioned is the pandemic, I think, really did hurt this format a lot more than others, just in that, you know, there are a lot of modern players who are enfranchised MTGO modern players. There's a lot of standard players who are paper standard players. You know, they kind of have options, and we're kind of the odd man out, where a lot of people were interested in this format, ready to go and be, hey, I'm going to be a Pioneer paper player. I'm going to build my Pioneer collection, have a couple decks ready to go.
Super cheap.
And I'm going to be in this format. Yeah, you know, wasn't super expensive, was great to buy into. You know, I was one of those people. I was not on MTGO before the pandemic. And I'm like, I need to continue playing this format because I'm interested in it, because I host a podcast for it. I'm now forced to go into MTGO, you know, put down money to do that. Not everyone's going to take that step.
Especially if you've
definitely
already
a number of players lost.
Especially if you bought all the paper already. I mean, Pioneer has the lowest cost, or I would say the lowest entry point, you know, cost or cost. You know what I'm talking about. The low, the lowest cost to get.
The barriers for entry cost of entry. Not that high, I think.
Compared
especially
to the
online.
Other Eternal. Yeah.
Like, I mean, if I'm looking at Magic Online, at the lists, like, my Phoenix list is around 150 ticks, and I think that's the best deck in the format, and that's not a lot.
And is a fifth of that, is 20% of that one Brazen Borrower?
It's two now. Maybe that's what's driving the price up.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. There you go.
So I think there's a couple more. I don't know if you guys had any others. Did you have any others you wanted to talk about? But I had a couple other things that I think are hurting Pioneer. Do you mind if I go a little bit longer?
Ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So again, this is kind of connecting to the whole mismanagement thing. Access. There's no access to Pioneer. Yes, it was moved online. We don't have it on Arena. They promised it on Arena almost like a year ago. We thought we were going to get it like in spring. We didn't. We thought we were going to get it in summer. Not getting it. Maybe we'll have it in fall. Who knows? You know, they did post like a little spoiler for like what they're working on. But, you know, we don't have it on Arena. That's the big thing. And MTGO is a little bit pricey. Yes, they have mana traders, but especially for casual players, people getting into the format, they're not going to pay, what is it, $60 a month or so for mana traders?
Actually, for Pioneer,
so there's a
range
you can go through.
Yeah, like for Pioneer, the $30 cap
is fine.
Yeah,
but still, that's a lot to swing for just kind of like casually playing the game, I think.
I agree.
You know, for someone that just wants, you know, like if we could play in paper and they just wanted to go to like one or two Pioneer FNMs a month, you know, they would only have to spend like what, maybe $20 or $10. You know what I mean? $30 is a lot to swing, especially if you have to continuously do it. So I think that's one thing, the access. There's nowhere for people to play it easily, to explore it. And because it's a new format, you want people exploring Pioneer, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think we forgot to even mention, as far as mismanagement, you know, there were 2 months there where we were not seeing the 5-0 lists published. That was a huge issue for a lot of, you know, we're already, you know, these struggling little content creators trying to talk about the format, and you're going to cut off our one source of information that we have on a lot of what's going on at the events. You know, there's not big streamed events, so when we need to find out what's going on, it's either what we're seeing in leagues ourselves, what we're seeing when we watch other streamers, or those published lists. And with those getting cut off, it was really a bit of a drought as far as content coming out for Pioneer.
And that kind of leads me into my... I mean, unless... Amit, do you want to say anything on that?
No, I'm good.
That leads me into my next point that I think, you know, something that's ailing Pioneer is a lack of content. When you do stuff like that and remove, you know, information, you know, about the format, then you make it harder for people to make content about Pioneer. And I think it, when you go online, I don't know if a lot of people, you know, actually read the paper, not paper, but like written articles anymore online. But, you know, a lot of people might watch people on Twitch. They might watch, you know, people on... Or what's that? Sorry, well, of course, they'll listen to our podcasters, you know, or other types of content that way. But, you know, a lot of people depend on what data is out there. If there's no data, no one's going to make content, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of that.
And I think, like, when I, last week I had a really frustrating day where I, like, basically prepared to stream the challenge and it didn't fire. And, you know, I kind of posted about it on Twitter, and some people responded that, like, I mean, stop trying to make content about Pioneer because no one's interested in the format. And I think that's a really big misconception because, like, there are people wanting to see this. Actually, like, some of my best numbers, like, viewers-wise in stream is when I stream Pioneer. Because maybe the audience is smaller compared to, like, Modern, but the content creators are just like are even fewer. So people want, like, there is demand for more content. It's probably not going to be the same size as, like, modern content, but that's fine. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
We just need more people streaming. And I think, like, recently a few other streamers have stopped streaming and they used to play more Pioneer. So the format is really, like, underrepresented right now, I think, when it's, in my opinion, in its best place since Inverban. Like, I've been having loads of fun recently. So I think that that's a misconception I wanted to talk about.
And I wanted to comment on that as well. Gatekeeping is a very, very big problem in Pioneer. I have never seen, I mean, when I played Frontier, I saw this hate a lot, but I have never seen as much hate for a format that I'd seen people, you know, give to Pioneer. And I don't understand it. Why don't people want to allow you to have fun? You know, it's not the format for you. If you're a Legacy player, who cares? I don't care. It's not going to hurt you. If you're a modern player, you should be supporting us, because without these people getting into Pioneer, buying these decks, and of course we've seen a lot of crossover lately, but like we were saying before, we've done topics on this before about people, you know, turning their Pioneer deck into a modern deck. If you don't have all these people building Pioneer decks and making Pioneer decks, you're going to have less people playing modern in the future. And I posted this on a Twitter rant before. I mean, you guys agree, right? Like, a healthy Pioneer format makes for healthier Eternal formats across the board.
Also for Standard. Like, Standard is a bit different. But I also think it just doesn't matter in a sense where, like, if you don't like the format, don't play it. It's fine. Just don't yell to the sky that it's bad and, like, people shouldn't play it. And I think a lot of it is, like, people like to hate on Tron in Modern. It's like, it's the cool thing to do, to say, yeah, Pioneer sucks. Like, have you played it? Did you try different decks?
Yeah.
Go into it?
And, like, they don't give you any answers. They don't tell you, you know, what would fix it or something. And if they do, it's, like, something from, like, January, you know, of, like, last year. Or not January. It's like, oh, you know, because, you know, Inveterate Twin is banned. Dude, that was, like, a year and a half ago.
Or be like, oh, we need Blood Moon. Like, what are you talking about?
Why?
That doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Who says we need Blood Moon? Wait. Who says we need Blood Moon?
I've definitely heard that. It's like, oh, you know, how can that format be good if it doesn't have
exactly.
any
Blood Moon land hate? Just as people, like,
not understanding it. It is.
It's not it's just about understanding. This is clearly someone who has a bias for Blood Moon. Like, no. I'm not even going to take that comment seriously.
And it's like, here's another thing, is that I think people want, I mean, this is kind of my other point, is that I think the other formats focus too much on pro players. Like, we don't really have Pioneer pros because we never really developed that entire format. You know what I mean? Or, like, you know, we had these Legacy All-Stars and these Modern All-Stars and these Standard All-Stars and these Draft All-Stars. We never got to develop our own heroes in Pioneer. And without that, you know, there's nobody to watch. You know, of course, you know, we have these great streamers like yourself, Amit, and of course, you know, Claudio and Dreams of Ashiok and whatnot. But that's all we have. You guys are like the Pioneer heroes, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, the pros aren't afraid of the format when it's available, when there's tournaments. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that I definitely think, you know, tabletop players or the MTGO version of tabletop players certainly exist, but they don't get any kind of...
There's no reason, you know, there's for the pros to play Pioneer.
Yeah.
There's no soundboard for them. So, like, they're not, you know, if they're playing a ton, that doesn't get told to anyone. But one pro plays a single league, that gets a lot of airtime. You know, people see that, people follow that, people will play into that. And that's where I'm kind of saying, is that for me, the pros really go to where there's tournaments, where there's other content coming out. And, you know, I definitely, whenever there's good Pioneer, whenever there's a big event, you know, we'll see LSV playing, we'll see
Canister,
you know, Corey Barmaster is always making content. Yeah, we see Emma Handy playing it, we see who else have I
Canister
seen playing
is
it? You
playing know, it a bunch.
It, yeah, it always makes
absolutely
huge news.
Yeah.
And it's great to see pros playing, but we should not base if a format is good or bad on how many pros play a format. We should base it on how competitive it is, and also, like I said, how fun it is. if you want to do powerful things, Pioneer is not the format for doing super powerful things. It's about the lines of play. You know, it's about, you know, finding your outs and stuff like that. It's exciting. It's interesting. It's a little bit slower, yes, but it's not a bad format because you don't have, you know, Path to Exile or Fetch Lands or something like that.
And I guess I'm more of thinking of it from like marketing the format perspective. One pro playing a single league and streaming it does so much more for the format than 5,000 casual players enjoying it on their free time.
Yeah.
You know, just as far as like what other people see and hear. And maybe that's on what you've been saying, is that there's been some mishandling by WotC. Maybe they need to be, hey, here's a random game of the week, or here's a way to jump into and watch somebody else playing Pioneer without it being streamed separately through Twitch, you know, just a random spectator event kind of thing.
People need that encouragement, you know, the casual players, I think, to feel good about their choice of choosing that format, to say, yeah, I know, it's good, right? But yeah, Emmett, how about you? What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I kind of want to jump back to the gatekeeping thing. I think I just wanted to mention that I think it's absolutely okay to criticize the format, right? Like, giving valid criticism, and Pioneer has its issues, is absolutely okay, but once this criticism just becomes randomly saying that the format is not good, when you're not playing it, when you're not, that's where it becomes problematic. But like, it's okay to criticize. It's okay to discuss it. I would love to discuss it. We would love to discuss it, but in a constructive way, not in a way that like degrades the format.
I'm tired of the trolling. I'm done with it. You know,
do you want to use it as a segue to criticize the format at all? Because I know we did want to talk about, you know, does the format need a shakeup? Is there anything that needs to be banned to make the format more fun? Or, you know, we definitely, I think, wanted to look at, you know, they were pretty heavy-handed in some of the bannings. Mm-hmm. Have we wanted to consider any of these unbans? Like, I don't think, we could talk a full episode about this probably, but briefly, what are your thoughts on the ban list right now?
I'll say, what was your full question? Because you kind of missed the beginning of it.
So I was saying, well, I guess the ending question is, what are your thoughts on the ban list right now? I was saying it in the context of, do we need something that would shake up the format? Is the format in a great place right now, et cetera?
And this was part of like the questions I was going to ask you. So yeah, Emmett, you want to go first since you're like the person that plays the most?
Yeah, I would like to go first, actually. I think the first thing that pops to my mind is, and I'm going to ignore like Ballista and Inverter for now because you know my opinion on those, but I think you were saying the Pioneer is not the format to do powerful things, and that doesn't have to be the case. Like, the format could definitely handle some more powerful stuff that might not be available in other formats, such as playing Smuggler's Copter or, like, the Fairy Time Raveler, or even Uro, I think. Either Uro or Wilderness Reclamation. Like, these cards could probably be fine if you like, let the meta adjust to them. I think, obviously, like, having both Uro and Reclamation at the same time was problematic. But, like, once you got one of those, he's probably fine. And Copter was too good at the beginning of the format. But now the format has changed. People will adapt to it. And it's going to help reinvigorate some of the decks that, like, might have trouble now. So I definitely think the format could do something more powerful than it is doing right now.
So you think there needs to be, like, a more well-curated ban list?
Yes. I would also mention that I would love the format to be about combos more. I know a lot of people disagree, and that's why they banned Inverter in the first place. But like, if you give us back Kethis, Inverter, Felidar Guardian, Uro, and like Ballista, I think the format could be interesting. I think that kind of gameplay is super interesting. But if you don't want to do that, you can at least like look at the more fair cards on the list.
And they need more testing to be able to do that, to be honest. I don't want them to, like, you know, ban stuff or unban stuff willy-nilly, you know, just on a whim. I want the data. And you're not going to get that from just having people playing M to Geo. Because, like you've said in the past, there's a lot of random people on there. People just playing their fun decks. You don't really get a true meta, you know, at its current level. You know, and we can't be making those choices, I think, until we get back to, you know, a lot more people playing it. And again, it comes back to them managing it and promoting it so more people do want to play it. I would say another thing, as far as like the ban list is concerned, is that I don't like how when they made their choices, especially like for was it Underworld? Connect Underworld. They didn't want to. I feel like they didn't really want to get rid of Thassa's Oracle and like all these other cards like Uro right away because they were selling packs still. I do not like
for sure.
I mean, that's one problem that Pioneer has. Because it's so close to Standard, a lot of the cards in Standard, especially these higher power level ones they have now, put so much pressure on the Pioneer format. And, of course, if they're like, well, people are buying all these Uros, or people are buying all these Theros packs because, you know, they want their Uros and stuff like that. So we can't ban this. We have to wait. So they need to get rid of that thinking and just get rid of it right away, I think.
I just never think it's going to happen.
But you know what I mean? Like I was saying.
Yeah. I mean, look at Modern Horizons, right? That's the same thing that's going to happen here.
With like Hogak before.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're going to try and not ban any of the new cards as long as they can, I think.
Yeah.
And then January we'll see an Urza Saga ban and people will be like, oh, why did it take 6 months? Yeah.
But didn't we get like a Copter ban like right away? Did it even make one season?
Copter ban in Standard was banned.
So Pioneer did a good job.
In Standard, Copter was banned really fast. Quickly. Like a month into Standard. But it was obviously just beyond broken.
If that's what you're talking about? Are you talking about Pioneer here?
Hmm?
Do we lose Ryan?
Yeah, no, I'm saying, what were you saying? Yeah, I'm still here, but what did you say, Kevin?
I was saying that, you know, at the beginning of Pioneer, if that's what you're talking about, they were pretty quick to ban things.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in Standard as well, but yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Not only in Pioneer, but also in Standard, I thought that they banned that right away, when it was in Standard.
So while we're talking about bans and unbans, I would like to mention that I'm usually against just randomly injecting cards into a format, but I think Pioneer would become significantly better if we could just put in the allied colored Festlands and Painlands.
Mm.
Because that would open up so many deck building possibilities.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that's holding it back. That's another one of the problems is the design, or I would say, you know, what cards they are releasing. They do not have Pioneer in mind at all. They've done zero testing. They're making these cards for EDH. Maybe they're making them for Legacy or something like that. I've seen no cards that have been like made specifically for Pioneer, to be honest.
I think that the saying is that WotC doesn't test anything other than Standard and Historic. Or maybe even not Historic, I think. But I could be wrong on this. But
that's so bad.
I mean, it is, but it's also fine as long as we accept that bannings are gonna happen, and it's fine if the formats break at the beginning. If something like, I think it's more about the reaction to formats breaking than it is about the formats actually breaking.
Hmm.
Because we could live with that, because you know resources are a problem when trying to test new formats, and you can't test everything, and that's fine. In my opinion, at least.
So one more thing that I want to say about bannings is that I do not think that unbanning or banning thing right now would have any effect. I don't think that is what we need to be doing now to get people to be playing again. It'll get people more interested in it, but still, I don't think we're going to have hundreds of more people, or you know, even dozens of more people jumping into queues to play just because this card is unbanned. This is something.
I think I agree with that in saying, like, don't ban anything, don't hurt more franchise players. You know, don't ban Niv-Mizzet and kill that deck just to to shake up the format.
Yeah.
I don't mind looking at some unbans, though. I think that, you know, it's still a little bit out before we'll see a new set come out. I wouldn't hate a small shakeup.
So,
and where I would definitely look is at some of the things that might have been a little bit hastily banned.
Mm.
You know, Kethys without Uro, without Teferi, I think pretty reasonable. I don't mind the idea of looking at Wilderness Reclamation. You know, they banned it at the same time they banned Uro.
Mm-hmm.
We never saw Wilderness Reclamation in a format without Uro. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Agreed.
You know, even without even with Teferi still like no longer around, you know, Teferi also supposedly stopped the Niv-Mizzet five, or the not the Niv-Mizzet part of it, but the Bring to Life. Mm-hmm. But we still saw that being played about the same amount before and after Teferi was banned. So I don't feel like Teferi on its own is going to stop people or make people play Wilderness Wreck. I wouldn't mind seeing a format with it around there. And I think there's a couple other ones, like you were mentioning, Copter, that I think would be safe to test around. Kind of how they tested Oath of Nissa and ended up not being an issue at all.
Yeah.
I think, so what I think now, don't ban or unban anything until people start playing again. I think strategic unbans would get people more excited, because we had tons of innovation when people were first playing Pioneer. We had so many broken decks, you know, in those first few months. And then, you know, when people stopped playing, we saw less and less innovation. We're still seeing, you know, a lot of new decks, I would say. But, you know, some stuff's come from Modern. Some stuff's come from Historic. I want to get people back playing Pioneer. And then we say, okay, here's a few more tools that you can play. And I think that'll get people more excited to play. I don't know if you guys agree.
I think that's pretty fair. You know, I don't think that we can argue that the format is anywhere close to solved. It's so clear, especially, you know, if you've been listening to our podcast recently, you know, we've had Claudia talking about four-color Omnath coming back. Mm-hmm. We just had Sambog and the Team Sunny Days get this cool Indomitable Creativity combo deck that they've been doing well with. You know, we had the Sultai Reclamation or Sultai Ultimatum deck not that long ago. It was a like brand new combo fun deck coming out of the format, and we've been seeing some very interesting adaptions. We've been seeing cool things in blue red if you guys listen to that episode. So there's still just so much to go depth in this format that hasn't been explored. I could probably agree there that it's not like the format needs something in order for it to be more brewable.
We need more people.
I just do think that, yeah, we need more people. And I do think that whatever it takes to get some people interested, building stuff, attracted to the format.
Yeah. Getting people to play, that's our biggest thing. All right. If there's no other things you want to say about bans or unbans, I had a couple other questions I wanted to throw your way, if you guys don't mind fielding those. Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. Yeah. So, we're talking about all the problems. Now let's kind of talk maybe about, you know, some possible ways to fix it, you know, and if you agree or disagree. So, for example, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think Pioneer is a paper-only format? Can it really only succeed in paper? I talked about this a little bit already. Why isn't anybody playing it on an MTGO? And I guess maybe, I don't know, do you have any insight on that first, Amit, since you play the most?
Yeah, so first of all, I would like to say that like the Pioneer Leagues, the matches are firing at a decent pace. I mean, it's not instantaneously, but you get a match in like 5 minutes, and that's fine, in my opinion. So people are playing the format despite the lower counts that are in leagues, technically. But I don't think Pioneer is only a paper format, not at all. I think the format, for me at least, it's mostly online. And I definitely think that playing it more in paper will bring more people into the format, and that might help them make the transition into playing it online. But I don't think it's a paper-only format. I am skeptic about Pioneer being saved by Arena, but maybe that's a later topic.
Yeah, that's the next topic. Okay. I just want to talk on the, you know, paper-only, because I think that, again, for me, it's about marketability. You know, if there's a ton of paper Pioneer being played, no one really hears about that. You kind of still need the... you know, you need the online presence. I think any format would be remiss to think that it's possible to be paper only nowadays, especially, you know, like, you know, if you're a great paper player, there's just not quite the same path, like clear path to being, you know, a big Pioneer paper player. Like there's no just like, oh, I'll go to this and I'll go to this and I'll go to the Pro Tour. It just seems like you kind of need to have the online presence, especially nowadays, mostly for that sounding board, for people to hear about what's going on. And that's where, you know, I think that having the paper players, like you said, if you've got content creators making content online and then those people are taking it to their local games, those people will then be reading more, paying more for that content. Yeah. That builds up the format. So I think you kind of need both sides, but you need kind of the pros online, and then you need the people playing it at home, playing it at their game stores.
Yeah. I mean, I would think you need to have the people playing in paper, like you said, you know, the casual people, the people playing it, to make the people online want to play it and want to get better at it. Because when they see, oh, hey, everybody likes this, I'm going to make this content so people, you know, will read it or listen to it or watch it.
Yeah, and I think paper and online feed each other, but it's more like paper feeding online, because in paper you get more emotionally invested.
Yeah.
You just, for most people, I think it's more fun.
I mean, they love, you know, maybe emulating what the people online do. Oh, I saw this, you know, streamer make this, you know, play this deck. Oh, I want to play this too. That looks like a lot of fun. But again, you have to be able to play in paper to do that. So it's kind of like it, like you said, the cycle before. It was a really rotten cycle. We need to create that cycle again. We need the people playing in paper so that people want to stream it more. And then people will watch, and then they'll play that in paper, and it'll just continue. We need to have, you know, them feeding each other. It's symbiotic. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Magic is very symbiotic. All right. I guess this is kind of connected to this then. it's kind of connected, you know, to the whole arena and MTGO topic. Do you think that online is going to be the future of Pioneer? You know, people have kind of been talking about this, saying that, you know, maybe, you know, this should be a, you know, the, how can I say, you know, the premier eternal format on Arena going forward from here.
Yeah, let's make this specifically about Arena.
Yeah.
They've been saying for almost a year now that Pioneer will be on Arena. They've been talking about Pioneer Masters on Arena. We've been slowly adding more sets, and they've been going into Historic, but at this point, Historic looks very, very different than Pioneer.
Yeah.
So, Akaros, why don't we kick it to you first? Will putting Pioneer on Arena save the format?
So, I think in theory, yes, but I think in practice, that's never going to happen in a way that's not damaging for the format. Because, first of all, and I think you know about this better than I do because I don't play a lot of Arena, but there's the problem of like giving people wild cards. You're going to have a bunch of new sets and people are just not going to be able to play a lot of the cards.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Second thing is that once you put a format on Arena, I am kind of worried, like once you put Pioneer, I'm worried that it's going to be under the same pressures as the other Arena formats, meaning specifically Historic, meaning they might want to put in new cards in there to make it more cool or stuff like this, which might lead to the format breaking every single time or, I don't know, weird things happening. And also, like, I think maybe if you see the pros play the format all the time, then they actually break it every time and then maybe the format is less interesting. But that is something I'm willing to risk. Like, the other things I just think are too big of an issue. Pioneer on Arena.
Kevin, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking on that last topic is that there is a little bit of worry for me that something will happen, like where, you know, they released Amonkhet, but there were a handful of cards they didn't release from Amonkhet.
Yeah.
If one day one of those commons breaks a Pioneer deck in paper and it's not online, that's going to be awkward, I think.
And that,
also, if I may add, also, like, think about the current Historic format. One of the reasons it's different from Pioneer is because it has a lot of cards that are not in any other format, like Muxus and stuff like this. And I'm worried that they might implement Pioneer and then say, well, we want to merge it with Historic, so let's just add all these cards. And then we end up with a really broken format.
That's the easiest way to kill it. Easiest way to destroy.
Yeah, you know, if you guys go back and listen, I think that most of the times when they've released these Historic anthologies, we've kind of touched on that topic. We've said, hey, like, what would happen if this did merge with Pioneer? How would these, you know, historical-only cards
affect, like, if it was playable,
how would these jumpstart cards affect Pioneer? Yeah, and, you know, we've only touched on that a little bit, but I think that if we do want, if it does get some news that we're going to have it on Arena, or especially if we get any news of that kind of merge, we would definitely discuss that more. But as far as my opinion of Pioneer going on to Arena, my definitely worry is that right now the Arena economy just feels like it would be really, really hard to jump into. So especially, you know, we were talking about franchise players. You've got some people who are franchise paper players. We've got some people who are franchised online players. Now, maybe some people are both because they were forced to from the pandemic. And those people are the ones that are hanging on by their nails to Pioneer. If you go ahead and tell those people, hey, now you need to get into Arena if you want to play Pioneer, you need to rebuy an entire collection, and it's not easy to do on Arena, you know, to just,
you can't, you know, it's impossible.
I need a million wild cards to make these decks that I want.
Absolutely.
And you can't
impossible.
Just like go and buy those wild cards directly. You'd have to buy sets and hope to open the wild cards, and that would be really, really messy. And then I think the other thing that goes along with that as a problem with the economy on Arena, and this is something that I've heard like Saffron Olive talk about, is that Arena is very punishing to brewing because you aren't incentivized to make a fun deck. You know, if you're spending your, you know, to make a deck that would be $30 in paper, but it's a lot of fun, versus to make a deck that's $1,000 in paper, but it's the most competitive deck, costs you the exact same on Arena. So if you're spending your wild cards on fun brews,
that's what I do.
That's just, it's expensive for you. It's you know, ruining your plus EV. It's not a good idea, and that really hurts a format that wants to be open and have, you know, fun connections, fun brews, have a lot of playable things like Pioneer.
And I want to comment on that real quick. I have not really played Historic at all. I've played like three times, like in the last month. It is depressing. It actually makes me feel like garbage. It feels like an abusive spouse or whatever, abusive a significant other. Whenever time I go on there, I feel like I'm just getting, you know, black eyes and getting punched each time, because I just want to, you know, have fun. I want to enjoy myself. I try to play, you know, my dwarves deck or my my wastenut deck, and then people are just doing these broken things. And it's like, even if I go to like just like the play function, you know what I mean? Which mm-hmm. is like supposed to be, it's not even casual, because people are testing out, you know, like, I guess they're trying to get good at, you know, these, you know, tier one decks. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't fun. I have not had fun in the historic format for like 2 months.
Well, it's okay. I have good news for you. They ban Time Warp. Everything's solved.
Whatever. Yeah.
I think it's an interesting point though, because Pioneer, they've been taking Pioneer away and away from being like the broken format, just like we discussed before. And like with Historic, it seems to go deep. I don't know if it's the other way around, but it feels like every single time they introduce cards that are obviously going to break the format because they're so strong, but then like everyone's surprised because the format's broken now and they try to fix it. But I don't remember the last time Historic seemed fair to me, but also I don't play much Historic, so I might be missing something here. Maybe like in Nissa Sultai time, that was the fair deck.
Here's another thing I wanted to say real quick. I mean, I've been playing some Pioneer casually, you know, like on either MTGO or on Untap, you know, like the testing software. I lose, I still have fun because I can play the cards that I want. I'm not restricted. And it's easier to, I would say, yes, it changes with each new set, but I think it's easier to adapt to the changes in Pioneer than it is to adapt to the changes in Historic, especially because I have a lot of the cards already, or there's no restriction on cards, and you know what I mean? I don't have to, like, you know, grind and try to get this many rares or, you know, mythics, you know, to be able to finish the deck, to be able to compete against those other decks. Sorry, I'm venting.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about it even more. I think, you know, one of the things I always say that's best about Pioneer is that you have to make smart deck building decisions. So if, you know, I like the fact that, okay, sometimes Scorching Dragonfire is the best 2-mana red removal. Sometimes it's a Braid. Sometimes you would want, you know, Lightning Strike. Sometimes you would want Fire Prophecy. If you're doing this on Arena, that means you have to buy all four of those if you're going to be deck building a red deck. That in paper, that's a plus. It means that all those cards are cheaper, that you have different options, that you get to think about your deck building. On Arena, that's a downside as the current Arena economy stands.
So there's three more things I want to talk about on this topic. So like, you know, Amit was saying, if they are going to put Pioneer on Arena, it has to be all of the cards. You cannot, sorry to use, you know, profanity here, but you can't half-ass this anymore at this point. You either put all of them on there, or you create a dusting system that lets you get all of the rares and mythics that you need. Because, well, I mean, well, that, okay, maybe that's the second point. Yeah, so you need to have all the cards on there, because like you said, you never know when this common or this uncommon that currently isn't in the set could break the format. You also, if you don't put all the cards on there at one time, what's the difference between that and Historic? Because Historic's going to have access to all these cards, plus they're going to have, you know, those legacy cards. What's the difference? There is no difference, you know. Yeah, and then, like I said, you got to have a dusting thing. You have to be able to get rid of all those extra cards you don't need, you don't want. I don't care for all these Mystical Archive cards that I have in Historic. I'll get rid of all of them. Or I'll get rid of all my Jumpstart rares I have. I don't need them. I just want Pioneer cards.
All right, so let me touch on both those points. For the one, I don't know if you have to have all of the cards. You know, it hasn't been an issue yet. We've been looking at whenever they add cards. You know, when we looked at, like, the Amonkhet when they added it online, we went through and said, okay, none of the cards that they didn't add are seeing any amount of play. I don't think any of them will see play. So as long as it doesn't come up, it's not an issue. I think that we might be able to sneak by that way. It's definitely risky, but I think that we might be able to sneak by that way.
Would you rather...
As far as...
Yeah. I was going to say, would you rather play Pioneer Light on Arena or just play with all the cards in MTGO?
I'd probably rather play Pioneer Light on Arena if there's a reasonable way to do it at a good price. And, you know, if there's the players there for it. As far as what I think would make sense for how to play it, I would much rather see a subscription model. You know, if I could pay, you know, $15 a month, you know, $25 a month, whatever it is, and have access to all of the arena cards, I would pay that every single month for the rest of my life.
Sorry, Amit, we've been taking over the podcast.
No, it's okay. I'm kind of curious about, like, if you actually need all the cards. My inclination is to say yes, you need all the cards, because, as you said, like, you don't know which random common is going to be your key sideboard card in one deck or the other.
Yeah, we just broke a game with Sage of the Falls, or we broke a deck with Sage
of the Falls. But look at decks like Lotus Field. How many uncommons and commons are in that deck that would never see play otherwise? And if you didn't have access to those, you wouldn't be able to build it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just looking at the list of the missing cards from Amulet. Right now, it doesn't seem like anything, you know, too big. Mm-hmm. But it could come up. Like, there are some cards here that are really unique and might see play. Mm-hmm, stuff like Nissa's Defeat, even. That, for some reason, isn't on Amulet Remastered. So I definitely think that we should... get all the cards. But I also, as you might have glimpsed in the past from talking with me or on a stream or something, I'm not a fan of Arena at all. So I would probably still be playing MTGO even if it goes on Arena. I'm just not really enjoying playing that software.
Yeah. And I guess we kind of already talked about this a little bit, but I want to go a little bit more in depth on this. If we do put Pioneer on Arena, would this make it less fun? You know, like, for example, in Standard Historic now, it feels like everything gets solved within the first month, and, you know, people are streaming it, and then they're done. And then there's, like, nothing going on for the last 2 months, you know, until the next set comes out. Would it destroy the playability?
I think there's a really real risk of this happening, because once you, and again, okay, so the problem is that the formats on Arena are the only ones played on the pro level, right? Because the Mythic Championships and the MPL was playing there. So these formats were under enormous pressures from, like, these pro players just really trying to make them. So I think a lot of formats would just crack under this pressure. But I also think we're going towards a different model of pro players, because, well, we don't know anything yet except we don't have MPL anymore. And just the fact that no one's going to try to break standard every 2 weeks might make the format more fun. So maybe if the pro players aren't playing the format as, like, if they play more diverse range of formats, then maybe it's fine to put Pioneer on Arena. It's like, it's not going to get broken so fast. That's just my random thoughts about this. I don't have a conclusive answer, of course.
Kevin, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I mean, as a pure brewer, I feel like I have to say, like, hey, if the format was breakable, I'd have broken it already. But, you know, obviously that I'm not a pro player. I think that it's currently an interesting enough format that it would be hard to definitively break. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if more people playing it is more likely to get towards a best deck.
Yeah.
But I also do think, I think that Pioneer has, and for a long time has been, a format where there hasn't been a best deck. There's been a lot of interaction. There's been, you know, through one season, people are like, okay, well, this beats this, and this beats this, and, you know, next leveling the meta. I think that it should hold at the current power level they've been printing standard cards at. We should continue to see a format that's pretty reasonable. So I'm not as worried about it being completely breakable.
Okay. And going... I guess back to going back to your point about having some kind of subscription model to, you know, get the cards in people's hands. I want to talk about maybe doing that with MTGO. Would having that type of feature with MTGO, just giving everybody access to, like, you know, $10 or $15 a month subscription service to play MTGO with all the cards? Well, I mean, not all the cards, but like Mana Traders or whatever. Would that bring more people into the format? I mean, we can all agree, right, that MTGO is probably the best place to play Pioneer right now, right?
Yeah.
So how can we make it more accessible? Would something like Kevin's idea of having that subscription system, would that fix the problem of not having, you know, enough players?
I honestly think that Mana Traders and Card Hoarder just give us good solutions right now. Because Pioneer, as we said, it's not really expensive. you can definitely get it like every deck with like the $30 subscription, and I think you can get most decks with the $10 subscription as well, because that would
especially
be up to 100
the baseline of cards. Yeah,
yeah, and especially if you just buy a couple of cards, like mm-hmm. when Uro was in the format and I was on a lower subscription, I acquired a couple of Uros, and then I could rent most decks I wanted to play, and then when I didn't need them anymore, I sold them for a small loss, which wasn't the worst thing for me personally. So I think there are options for people to play the format, and I don't know if that giving more of these options is going to change anything significantly.
I think what's holding me back from, you know, doing that, especially like, you know, more of like a budget, you know, ManaTrader's account or something, is that, yeah, you still have to spend money, it's to pay the ticks to do events.
Yeah.
And I do not feel confident enough with my skills, even if I'm borrowing and making the best decks, to be able to go up against the people on there. I'm not going to call you guys sharks or hustlers, but but you guys definitely have higher skill level than a lot of people that, you know, would come on if it was more accessible to, you know, to other people. I would feel like there needs to be like more tiers of competition. You guys are on there for the EV. I think there needs to be, you know, some more for fun type formats on there to get people playing Pioneer, but at the same time, they're not losing too much.
Well, and I was talking about it more for if we were on Arena. Like, I would love to, you know, they could still sell all of their cosmetics mm-hmm. and make money that way. They could sell some kind of battle pass, make money that way. You know, they could do things like, hey, free weekend, where anyone can jump on and play any card for free, and that would get people buying the subscription model. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot better ways they could do things. And then they could, you know, have free Phantom Drafts, something like that.
Yeah.
They just need to be getting people on it and playing it, and I don't think that the current model is working for me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I could vent to you guys today. I appreciate this.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what this episode was. Like I said, we're kind of venting this episode. We're just, you know, bitching about the format.
Anything else you guys want to bitch about, or are we all bitched out? Yeah,
I'll end with an endorsement for Pioneer. I think the format is the best it's been for the past year or so. You have tons of agency, a lot of available decks. Games are interesting. Go and play the format. It's fun. It's good. You can do a lot of different things.
I've heard that MTGO ticks are going up too. Do you think? I don't know if that has anything to do with Pioneer, but
it's because of Modern Horizons, of course.
Probably. Yeah.
This set kind of
Well, and wasn't there some kind of new way that they were tracking the price that was helping drive it up?
I don't think
there was some app or web. If I remember, there was some just like, oh, this is the price right now, and people were, you know, seeing it, and that was helping inflate it, something like that. Well, what I was going to say though, you endorsed the format. What I wanted to say is just a shout out to any content creators out there who are making Pioneer, or even if you're not normally a Pioneer content creator and you happen to hear about our show, go ahead and just send us some kind of tweet, send us some kind of message, and we would happily broadcast your content, even, you know, paid content. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, I make Pioneer content, it's locked behind my Patreon, we're happy to support that. We want you to make money playing Pioneer, and we want to hear more about Pioneer, so let us know. Tweet us is the best way to reach us. For our listeners as well, tweet out to us at MTG Pioneer. You can also find a link to our Discord. There is a great way to keep in contact with us. But yeah, tell us about Pioneer, talk to us about Pioneer, and if you're a content creator, we would love to retweet you to help spread more Pioneer content.
Use that, you know, hashtag MTG Pioneer as well. Let's get that spreading so, you know, people can find more stuff about it. I feel like people talk about Pioneer all the time, but they don't tag us, or, you know, they don't do hashtag MTG Pioneer, and it just gets lost in the noise. And thankfully, you know, we have people like, you know, Claudio and Emmett that will tag us, but, you know, you gotta get the community working together, I think, to really help Pioneer become what it can be, you know, to reach its potential.
And especially as we start to get paper events, you know, especially bigger paper events, I'm happy to, you know, if it's a small town in Ohio and you're going to have a big paper event, tweet us, you know, maybe you'll find somebody.
We'll
help spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're excited to talk about that stuff.
So you guys want to share your Twitter information as well?
Yeah, Emmett, you want to go first?
Sure. So you can find me on EkerosMTG. That's EkerosMTG. I stream under the tag on Twitch 4 days a week, and I tweet a bunch. So go check that out.
All right, you guys can find me on Twitter as well at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. If I do get a Mana Traders account, you can definitely probably see me stream Pioneer a little bit more. But, you know, I'll post that on Twitter.
I can also loan you some decks, right?
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've got a few things, yeah.
Just, like, give me the cards?
Yeah, for sure.
Nice, nice. I'll keep a ledger.
Joining the challenge yeah. tomorrow?
I'm not doing the challenge, no. No. I don't know what time that would even be for me over here in Japan, to be honest. It's starting in 6 hours? Yeah, that's like 6 a.m.
So, but there's another one. Well, it's a long time after that. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Bad time for you.
Yeah, probably. It's always a bad time for people in Japan. All right, Kevin.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for... I really enjoyed the show. I don't know about you guys, but I think that just a chance to get some things off my chest, to complain about Arena, which I always love to do, as well as just talk about the format that we love. So, guys, if you enjoyed this kind of content out there listening, we are the First Pioneers Podcast, and we look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. The First Pioneers are signing off.